The reading is Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, reading from verse 1 to verse 14, which can be found on 1173 of the Church Bibles. Ephesians, chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord.
Great. Please keep that passage open in front of you, page 1173, if you've lost it. And let's pray as we get into God's word together. Father, please would you teach us as we start this wonderful book of Ephesians together. Please would you open our eyes to the blessings that you have given to us. Move us, Father, to praise you. And we pray that you would shape us and change us as a church family as well. As we go through this book, that we would be more the people that you want us to be, in praise of Jesus and in love for one another. Father, please work among us. Amen. Well, I wonder how generous you think God is to you at the moment. How generous is God to you? Now, we might well think our answer to that might go into two areas. First area we might think, well, what are our circumstances? Maybe that's what you initially thought of. You thought, well, maybe things are going particularly well at home or at work or at school or in various areas. And you say, well, therefore, God has been generous to me. Or maybe things aren't going so well. Health worries, family problems. Maybe your job is not looking so secure. Maybe you're looking for work. Maybe things aren't going so well at school. And you say, well, therefore, God has not been generous to me at the moment. So we might look there. We might also think about our own personalities. That's the second thing. We might look at our own personalities. We might say, well, am I the kind of person who looks around and just sees God's blessing everywhere? There are some people who seem to be like that. And maybe you're the kind of person where you say, well, that's just not me. I don't do that. Some people are like that. They see God's blessing in everything, God's generosity in everything, but that's just not me. But so maybe you think, well, it's a kind of personality thing as to how you respond to God. Are you a glass half full person or a glass half empty person? At the beginning of the book of Ephesians, and we're going to be looking at the book of Ephesians through this term, Paul begins with a firework display of God's blessings. It's a bit like, you know, you've been to a firework display and you get towards the end, you know it's getting near the end, because all of a sudden you have this wall of fireworks going up. And that's what Paul does, but he doesn't save that to the end, he does it right at the start. He does this massive display of God's blessings, and it's so much that as it was read through, I wouldn't be surprised if you got a little bit lost. Because there is just so much going on in those verses that as Joan read it, it's very hard to pick out what's Paul saying here and here and here. And I found, actually, one of the things I would encourage you to do is to go away and this week maybe read through these verses several times on different days so that you're absorbing more and more of what Paul is saying, because it's so dense. But the initial firework, the initial sort of big bang that he does, this is kind of the big one, is there in verse 3. So he writes to the church in Ephesus, and the first big firework is this. He says, verse 3, have a look in your Bibles, have a look up on the screen if you want. They're in both. Verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Now that is a massive statement. To understate it, that is enormous. He is saying, God has blessed you, if you're a Christian, in the heavenly realms with every single blessing, with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Now, we're just going to take a moment just to pull this verse apart because it's really important as the kind of headline, the big firework, and then we're going to get into what are these blessings. But we just need to pull this apart for a moment. Paul's saying, if you're a Christian, you have every spiritual blessing. There are no half Christians. There are no half blessed Christians. There are no Christians where God says, well, I'll give you a bit, but I won't give it all to you. It's not based on your merit. It's not that God says, well, you came to church, you've done well, you've not missed a Sunday. You know how they do that in schools these days? In schools, they'll do a, you didn't miss any day's school this term, therefore you get a certificate from the head teacher. Lovely thing. God doesn't do that. It's not that God says, well, you went to church every day this week, therefore this year, therefore next year you'll have extra blessing. It's not that. God says, no, I bless all my children, all Christians, with every blessing. But notice what kind of blessing. They are blessings in the heavenly realms, and they are spiritual. So they are not earthly blessings. It's not that God gives us, says, well, I'll bless you, here you go, all the money that you could ever want, the career that you've always dreamed of. You know, they're not earthly blessings. Now, our danger is, as we read that, we go, okay, God's blessed us with every blessing. And then we go, but they're heavenly blessings and they're spiritual. And we tend to think, oh, well, therefore, they're not real. They're not something I can lay hold of. They're not, maybe, what I really want. Now, that reveals a bit of something about us, doesn't it, if we do that? Because then what we're really saying is, what we really want, our real desires, are earthly blessings. But actually, these are far better. Because these are eternal. They are of infinite value, and they are of eternal duration. Whereas earthly blessings are finite in both ways. So they are heavenly. Now, again, our danger is to think, well, maybe that means they're removed from us. Maybe that it's a bit like me saying to you, I'll give you £100. I've given you £100. It's yours. It's under a rock in Alaska. You go, well, it was kind of nice of you, but it's so far away from me. It's not really worth going and getting it. Our temptation will be to think these heavenly blessings, well, maybe they're in heaven, so they're not really mine here and now. But there's a difference between them being in the heavenly realms and them being in heaven. Heaven, yes, you might say, well, that maybe that is removed, but actually heavenly realms, that's different. That is still here and now. Again, our temptation might be to think, well, it's future, a bit like a child trust fund that you set up and you say, well, the child can have it in due course, but they can't have it now. And God said, no, no, no. These are things God has blessed you with right now. They are here, they are immediate. Yes, there's a future element to them, but they are more valuable than earthly blessings. And how do you get them? By being in Christ. Now, this is really important. You don't get them, as I've already said, by your own merit, by coming to God and saying, look, this is what I've done. Then God says, well, therefore, this is what I will bless you with. No, you get these things by being in Christ. It has been likened to this. Imagine there are two giants. Two giants. One is Adam, you know, from the Old Testament, from Genesis. One is Adam, and one is Jesus. And on both giants, there is a belt. And the whole of humanity is, we are each individually hooked on to the belt of Adam. And so when God deals with us, he deals with us as if we are Adam. And we have all rebelled against God. And so deserve God's wrath. We'll come on to that in future sermons in Ephesians. But what God does when he gets us to be a Christian, when he brings us to Christ, is he unhooks us individually from the belt of Adam and hooks us onto Christ. And so when God looks at us, he gives us all the benefits that Christ should have. All that should come to Christ comes to us because we are in Christ. And the more I've recently, as I've been reading more of the New Testament, more and more of it, you just see this comes over and over and over again in Paul's writings. He says, you're in Christ. That is who you are. And therefore you have these blessings. Now that is really important. Because it's not about you earning these blessings. These are permanent. These are guaranteed. Because it's because you're in Christ. And we'll see more about that in a few minutes. But really important. Okay, so big headline. You are blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. What are these blessings? Okay, we've got three things. I want to see if you can help me by just doing some hand actions. Now, it's all right, you can stay seated. These are not big things. And you may be thinking, but the children aren't here. But that's all right, you can still move your hands. You can still do this. It's to help you remember and help you stick with it. Okay, so they are these. Three things that we are: chosen, redeemed, and sealed. Okay, so let's go for it. So do it together. Ready? And say the words as well. So after three. One, two, three. Chosen, redeemed, sealed. Okay, let's do it again. After three. One, two, three. Chosen, redeemed, sealed. Those are the three things. There's a whole load more in the chapter. You're going to have to read it through more. But these are three things we're going to pick out. Chosen, redeemed, sealed. Okay, first one. Chosen. The big blessing that Paul starts off with, where he says, this is the big blessings that you get, is that you were chosen. When? Have a look at the verses. Verse four. So this is explaining what the blessings are. Four. He chose us in him before the creation of the world. Okay, so God, before the creation of the world, before he'd made anything, knew who he would make. He decided who he would make. And he chose you, if you're a Christian. He said, you. I'm going to pick you. But what for? My kids at dinner time, at the end of dinner time, if I start saying to them, I'd like a volunteer, they've learnt to say, what for? Because they know what's likely to come along. But okay, it's all very well to say we've been chosen by God, but chosen what for? The verses tell us. Okay, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. That's what he's chosen you and me for, if we're Christians. To be holy, that's set apart for him, his very own, and blameless, pure, without spot or blemish, with nothing wrong with us. He said, I've chosen you to be that. But that's not the only thing he's chosen us for. Keep going in the verses. So, sorry, first one up on the screen. To be holy and blameless. Keep going in the verses. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In other words, he says, okay, these are fantastic, wonderful, wonderful things God's given us. What's the other thing he's chosen us for? It's for adoption as sons. So God, before the creation of the world, saw the whole of humanity and said, you, I want you to be holy and blameless and to be my son. Now, son is significant. We might think, oh, we want it to be son and daughters. Son is significant because in those days, sons were the people who got the inheritance, weren't they? They inherited things when the father died. It would be sons, not daughters back then. So it's significant that Paul says, you're sons. In other words, you get the inheritance. It's not saying anything about gender. So, God says, before the creation of the world, I want you. Now, we can get a bit uncomfortable about this, because we will then think, well, is that unfair? Why would God choose me and not someone else? Well, Paul doesn't deal with that here. If you want to deal with that, if you want to look into that, go to Romans chapter 9 and see what it says there. Don't do it just at this moment, but have a look there. And effectively, what Paul says in Romans chapter 9 is, look, it's not unfair. God can do with his people whatever he wants to do because he created us. And it is not unfair that he should choose some and not others. We all deserve God's wrath. The fact that God should be merciful to some is entirely in God's hands. He can do that if he wants to. But if we spend too long on that, we will miss what Paul is saying here, which is this is a great blessing. That if you're a Christian, you've trusted in Christ, God's chosen you. He had you in mind before he created the world. Doesn't that do something to your heart? Doesn't that do something? That he chose you. And what's exciting there is that God chose you for things that you can't do yourself. You can't make yourself holy and blameless. You can't make yourself a child of God. It's a bit like, do you remember, if you've been in the city or if you've been around any building sites, sometimes on the building site looks an absolute mess, but on the outside, on the boards outside, they have a picture of what it's going to look like. And obviously someone has chosen that plot of ground and said, this is what that's going to look like. And in due course you see, wow, yeah, that is what it becomes. And God, before the foundations of the world, chose you and says, I want you to be my son, to be holy, to be blameless. I want you. Awesome, isn't it? Last Tuesday, I went to a service at St. Paul's Hook, and I cycled there. And it was by invitation, so I'd replied to the invitation saying, yeah, I'm going to cycle there and whatever. And I was fairly close to the start of the service, so I sort of pedalling pretty furiously, got to St. Paul's, arrived, just pulled in, saw people were getting ready to start the service. And someone came over to me with a clipboard and said, are you Bart? Yep. Okay, follow me, please. Ooh, this is exciting. I wonder what's going to happen here. I wasn't expecting to do anything. I didn't have a sermon prepared or anything like that. Well, now, as it turns out, it was just that he'd been told that there was somewhere I should park my bike. But it was kind of exciting for a few moments there that someone had my name on their list, that they thought about me beforehand and said, they're going to need this, and we're putting down on the list. Have you ever had that, where you've arrived somewhere, they're going, are you this person? You are? Come this way. Makes you feel a little bit special. That was from parking a bike. God, before the creation of the world, says, I want you. I've chosen you to be mine. Doesn't that fill your heart? It should do. Okay, chosen. Second, redeemed. Okay, redeemed. Verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace, and so on. It's saying God has redeemed us. Now, when you think about redemption, what are you to think about? You're to think about slaves. Slaves for whom a price is paid so that they could be set free, so they could be released. So if your family back then had to be sold into slavery, maybe financial hard times, and then you could redeem them. You could pay the price, you could set them free. That is what God has done for us. What's the price? It's Jesus' blood. Again, that God lavishes this grace on us. Don't miss how lavish this grace is. Let me just read a little bit from Richard Cokin's book on Ephesians, where he says this about this redemption. For God to allow such a sacrifice for our sins is grace. For God to provide such a sacrifice for our sins is amazing grace. For God to become such a sacrifice for our sins is grace beyond our comprehension. Have you begun to comprehend how big God's grace, God's love is for us, that he would say, yeah, I'll pay the price. I've chosen you. I'm going to pay the price for you. Now, the price is my son. And I will lavish my grace on you by giving my son, so you can be free from your sin, so you can be my child. Why is that important? Because of where history is heading. Verses 9 and 10. He says, and he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. Where's that saying history is heading? Where's the world heading? It's heading to a point where Jesus will be seen to be king over the whole of creation. Now, why is that important? That's important because if you're not redeemed, if the price has not been paid, then your sin is still on you. And when Christ comes as king, that will be a terrifying time because he rightly will judge us. But if the price has been paid, and notice it is Jesus himself, the one who will come as king, who himself is the price that is paid. Therefore, when we get to that point, we need not worry. Because we know that Jesus, our Redeemer, lives. Exciting for the future. Okay, we've got to move on. Chosen. Redeemed. Lastly, sealed. Sealed with the Holy Spirit. Just move on in the verses, if you will. Verse 13. It says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Now, just pause on that for a moment. That's then therefore saying, how in time do you and I come in Christ? How are we unhooked from Adam and hooked onto Christ? How do we get these blessings in time? Because God chose us before the creation time, but how does it work out in time? You hear the word and you believe. You hear of Christ and you say, yes, I believe that. That's how you become in Christ. So you can't, therefore, if you're sitting there as maybe you're not a Christian, you might be thinking, okay, I'm not chosen. I can't be chosen because I'm not a Christian. You can't say that. You cannot say that of anyone, actually, that they are definitely not chosen. But rather, if you put your trust in Christ, if you believe in him and say, yes, I'm going to do that, that proves that you were chosen. Okay, so if you're not a Christian, put that trust in Christ. That shows that God did choose you before the foundation of the world. Okay, and when you do, verse 13, second half of verse 13, having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. So God seals us. This is what they used to do with slaves or with animals, that they would seal them to say, this is mine. It's a seal of ownership. That makes you sound like you might be an animal, but you're not really. In God's view, this is a wonderful, delightful thing that he seals you, not with a brand, but with his Holy Spirit. And he says, I'm going to put my spirit in you. And that guarantees that you will be there getting your inheritance for all eternity. Okay. Every spiritual blessing. What are they? We are chosen. We are redeemed. We are sealed. How do we respond? A phrase that comes up over and over again in these verses is, to the praise of his glory. Sorry, I'm behind on the slide. To the praise of his glorious grace. It's in verse 6. Verse 11 and 12, you end with it, that we might be for the praise of his glory. At the end of the passage, to the praise of his glory. What's the response? The response is to praise God. Now, we feel a little uneasy with that because that's then saying God did all this. He did all this so that we would praise him. Now, we don't like that idea because we've misunderstood what praise is. You see, there are some people, let me give you an example. There are some people whose job it is to get you to praise them. You just don't think of it like that. Actors, for instance. Why do they do what they do? They do what they do. They do their performance so that they will move you. So that you'll be moved by what they do, to laughter or to cry or whatever it may be. But they want to move you. And if they can, they want to move you so much that at the end you will spontaneously get up and applaud them. They don't just come out on stage and say, praise me. No, they do what they do so that you'll be moved, so that spontaneously you will praise them. That's why they do it. It's actually part of the enjoyment of what they're doing. Now, link that with God. Why does God do what he does? He chooses you so that he can pour out his love on you so much that you will be moved to get up and praise him and say, what a great God we have. That's why he does it. It's a wonderful thing that God does this for his own praise, because it's saying, I want you to know my love for you that much. And so he does. He pours out his blessings on us. Every blessing. So that whatever your circumstances, whatever your personality, we would stand and we would praise God because of his glorious grace. Because by being in Christ, not because of anything good about us, we are chosen to be in him. We are redeemed by his blood and we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we as Christians are blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. Father, move our hearts that we would understand these truths so well, so much sinking into our hearts that we would delight to praise you, whatever our circumstances, whatever our personalities, that we would love these truths. Amen.